Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's Current Sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shot fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? Welcome to this Wednesday, hump day edition of WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, and I know today you woke up, and at some point, sports fans, it hit you, and you were reminded maybe immediately when you woke up, or reminded right after you had that cup of coffee, reminded after you brushed your teeth. At some point this morning, you woke up and it hit you that yesterday really happened. It really happened. When we got the official word, the official announcement that there is going to be no Big Ten fall sports this year. That there will be no college football, Michigan State football fans. It won't feel the same, right? You know, come September, when the leaves start to change and temperatures hitting the 50s and the 60s and you get that fall chill, the smell of apple cider and just that overall fall feeling on a Saturday. It is going to be so weird to know that we will not have Big Ten football, that we will not have Michigan State football to sit back, relax, and enjoy. But that is our reality now, due to the COVID-19 pandemic, and we are all trying to get adjusted to that new reality. It's a wild time, folks. And today I'm going to comb through a few things, because while I was recording yesterday's Current Sports, the news hadn't become official just yet. The news actually went official around 2 p.m. yesterday afternoon. So right after Current Sports aired, that's when Kevin Warren in the Big Ten Conference made the official announcement that there will be no fall sports. And then Kevin Warren hopped on the Big Ten Network and addressed what led to that decision. And then not too long after that, probably about an hour or so after the Big Ten made its announcement, the Pac-12 came out and said that, yeah, we're going to do the same. There will be no fall sports for us as well. And yes, that includes college football. So the Big Ten really leading the way there, becoming the first big college football Power 5 conference to come out and say, yeah, we're not doing this. And I'm going to play for you a bit of what Kevin Warren had to say, because it was interesting. And at the end of the day, it was a decision that had to be made, in my view. Because I know that there are some people listening to this right now and saying, Al, that's a load of crap. You're wrong. They could have found a way. This is ridiculous. This virus is not even all that bad, so on and so forth. I'm not going to even address that. I've addressed that countless times. Those individuals who believe that this pandemic is not serious and that unpaid college athletes should be on the football field, I've already talked to you. I'm not going there anymore. But I'll continue to give you my thoughts on why it was the right decision and what happens now for Michigan State especially. Because this was supposed to be such an interesting year, right? An exciting year, really. As we close the book on the Mark D'Antonio best-selling novel, and now open up a new one, the Mel Tucker era here in East Lansing. So much excitement, you know, breathing new life into the program. And Mel Tucker in his first year, you know, now that is again on hold. The Mel Tucker era is stuck in neutral. But I want to get into some of the reaction that is coming from the players. I want to get into the possibility of a fall college football season. You get my thoughts on that. And whether or not we'll see the other big dogs follow the Big Ten and the Big 12 and cancel all fall sports. There's one conference right now that is coming out and saying, hey, business as usual. We're going to ride this thing out, and we do plan on playing college football. And also, will we see any Big Ten teams out there who say, all right, thank you, Big Ten. You say no college football, but that doesn't mean that we can look into other options for us. That doesn't mean that we can look into joining another conference that will be playing college football this fall and suit them up. I'll address that as well. And then on the back end of the show, just to take a break from all of this heavy Big Ten football news, Big Ten fall sports news, I do want to talk about the NBA. Hopefully I get to it. But Damian Lillard is going off right now in the NBA bubble. I mean, the dude had just posted back-to-back 50-point games, and he goes for 60-plus last night, and he had me jumping up and down on my couch. I mean, I was going crazy, and that just felt good. You know, the NBA has been a safe haven for me, just like for you, or maybe you're a baseball fan, or maybe you're a hockey fan. You know, that was one heck of a NHL playoff first day, wasn't it? And I'll give you guys a score update on that as well. But a lot to get to, folks. And as I always say, you know, you may not be able to call in live here on our airwaves, but you can also still let your voice be heard by leaving us a voice message at 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. You can go to facebook.com/WKAR News, and you can leave us a comment anywhere there on our Facebook page, and you can tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or you can tweet the show at WKAR News. You know what's next. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners for this Wednesday, August 12th. We'll be right back. Okay, yes, the Big Ten has pulled the plug on college football. They did so yesterday afternoon, as the conference will not play football or any other sport this fall. Michigan State players were actually pulled off the practice field on Tuesday. And Michigan State football coach Mel Tucker told the team that the conference would try to resume play in the spring. That's how the players got the news yesterday. The Pac-12, as I mentioned, not long after the Big Ten made its announcement, about an hour after the Big Ten came out and made that announcement public, the Pac-12 also canceled its fall sports seasons as well. So, according to a Michigan spokesperson, athletes can continue workouts immediately per the NCAA rules, even though there will be no fall sports for these two conferences. And it now marks the first time that Big Ten football will not be held during the fall in the 125-year existence of the conference. Even with the 1918 flu pandemic and World War I running concurrently, and then World War II more than two decades later, you still had the Big Ten playing games, which puts in perspective just how unprecedented this pandemic is and just how serious the coronavirus is, whether you want to admit that or not. And again, when it comes to other conferences out there, again, the Big Ten leading the way, followed by the Pac-12, what will the other big dogs do? What will the other Power Five conferences do? You know, the ACC, the SEC, the Big 12. Well, the Big 12 has already come out and said that we will move forward with the intent of playing fall football. That's right. The conference's board of directors met for more than an hour on Tuesday to discuss the future of the season in the midst of the decisions made by the Big Ten and the Pac-12 to postpone fall sports until 2021. Now, much attention was on the Big 12 meeting after the ACC and SEC publicly affirmed their intentions to continue moving forward. Now, the decision leaves three of the Power Five conferences intent on playing for now. Now, the Big 12 athletic directors, met on late Tuesday following the board of directors meeting, and a revised Big 12 schedule is expected to be released soon. So right now, the Big 12 is saying, hey, we're going to move forward here and we're going to try to figure this thing out. But again, that's right now. And the ACC, again, has also come out alongside the SEC to say that, yes, we will continue to move forward. But I think that's going to change. All right. Detroit Lions camp updates. The Lions, like all NFL teams, have gone to great lengths to try and prevent outbreaks of the coronavirus, including putting plexiglass dividers between locker rooms. Between lockers, not locker rooms. Moving some dining facilities outdoors and also enforcing strict training and care schedules. Now, the Lions placed eight players on the reserve/COVID-19 list during the first week of training camp, but have not had a positive test in the 11 days since players have been allowed in the building. Rookie safety Jalen Elliott is the only Lion still on the reserve/COVID-19 list, and the latest player to test positive, who was Detroit Lions quarterback Matthew Stafford, has tested negative every day since. And again, that test was a false positive for Matthew Stafford. And he actually opened up and talked to the public, I should say, yesterday via video conference call and said that it was a scary situation, but he's fine. So that's good news. Haven't had a positive test in the 11 days since players have been allowed in the building. We'll see if they can keep that up, though. All right, the Detroit Tigers fell to the Chicago White Sox in Game 2 of a three-game set. That series actually will conclude this afternoon, and as you're probably listening to this, the first pitch has probably already happened. That first pitch scheduled for 1:10 p.m. 8-4 was the final, though, yesterday. But some bad news for the Detroit Tigers, as Tigers first baseman C.J. Cron has been placed on the 10-day injured list after taking a ball off the knee during that 5-1 win on Monday, in which Daniel Norris made one unbelievable tag to get the out. I mean, I watched that highlight over and over and over. If you haven't seen that play, watch it again. But again, the unfortunate aspect to that play is that the ball ricocheted off of CJ's knee. And yeah, he's down, folks. So Detroit will be down a bat that has crushed 4 homers and 8 ribbies in 13 games this season. The 30-year-old Crone, he had 25 homers in 125 games for the Minnesota Twins last year, and he registered 30 in 140 gamers for the Tampa Bay Rays in 2018. So, bad news there. Excuse me. But we'll see if the Tigers can rebound and possibly still get the win today. All right. It was a very fun first day for fans of the National Hockey League yesterday as the NHL playoffs got underway. We saw Calgary, the Flames, beat the Dallas Stars 3-2. So Calgary leading that series 1-0 now. And Las Vegas getting the win over Chicago 4-1 as Vegas leads that series 1-0. And now Tampa Bay also has a 1-0 series lead against the Columbus Blue Jackets as they went to 5 overtimes, folks. Yeah, if you are a fan of hockey, you really enjoyed that last night, right? As that game went to 5 overtimes, Tampa Bay again pulling out the win eventually, 3-2 the final. Thrilling, thrilling stuff there. So the NHL playoffs will proceed. And today you've got games happening right now as I speak, actually, this morning. As I speak, Carolina is playing Boston at 3 p.m. New York will play Washington at 5:30 p.m. Arizona will take on Colorado. At 8, you've got Montreal in Philadelphia, and at 10:30, Vancouver and St. Louis will get it on. By the time you listen to this, that Carolina and Boston matchup will probably have happened already, but that's an update as I speak. Okay, and the hottest player in the NBA bubble, he got the shooter's bounce yesterday. I mean, he had 1 3-pointer that hit. Like, the back part of the rim flew all the way up in the air, past the backboard, and still found the bottom of the net. I mean, Damian Lillard right now, guard for the Portland Trailblazers, he is in a zone that is special. Now, we really haven't seen in quite some time in the NBA. Lillard had 61 points last night, tying his career high, propelling the Blazers to a 134-131 win over Luka Doncic and the Dallas Mavericks on Tuesday, as Lillard relished the victory that rested sole possession of 8th place in the Western Conference standings away from the Memphis Grizzlies. With one seeding game to go, courtside cameras captured the All-Star making a demand. You could see, after that game was done, Damian Lillard yelled, "Put some respect on my name." And he put another word before name, but I can't say that word. But he said it over and over again as teammates and coaches came to congratulate Dame on that 61-point performance. He has been lights out, folks. The Blazers are now 5-2 since the restart, with Lillard avenging Saturday's loss against the LA Clippers, in which he missed two late free throws with 51 points in a win over the Philadelphia 76ers, followed by his 61 piece against now the Mavs. So, yeah, Damian Lillard is unbelievable. And I'm going to try to get to Dame's performance and what he's doing later on this hour, okay? I want to congratulate LeBron James. Not only is he a star on the court, but he's also a star off of it, especially when it comes to this this new career of his away from the basketball court, you know, doing his thing in the film industry. How cool is this? You know, he's like following in the footsteps of Kobe Bryant right now, right? LeBron James can now add an Emmy to his trophy case, as the LA Lakers star is now a Sports Emmy winner after his production company's feature was awarded for Outstanding Long Sports Documentary. The winning piece is What's My Name? Muhammad Ali Part 1 by Spring Hill Entertainment. It's a really well done documentary. I remember I was glued to my television watching it, I believe, when it premiered on HBO. And a two-part docuseries. And his production company with Maverick Carter, called Spring Hill Entertainment, got the dub. So Sutter Row Picture Company and Fuqua Films also produced the piece. And, Antoine Fuqua, big-time director of one of my favorite films of all time, Training Day, starring Denzel Washington. So James and Carter are executive producers. Unbelievable stuff, folks. The documentary aired on HBO and explores Ali's challenges and confrontations, comebacks, and triumphs through recordings of his own voice. It's a two-part docuseries that uses archival footage, some of which was previously unseen, and shows how Ali stood up for what he believed in. So check it out. I loved it. I saw it a while back, sometime last year, and I remember chatting with my barber about it, and we were just in awe of how good it was. So a lot of people haven't seen it, though, because, you know, not everybody has HBO. So check it out. Really good stuff, and congratulations to LeBron James. And lastly here, I want to make it known that the stands at FedEx Field for the Washington football team in the NFL will be emptier than usual during the 2020 season. Out of an, quote, abundance of caution due to the rapidly changing dynamics of the COVID-19 pandemic, the Washington football team announced today that its 2020 season at FedEx Field would be played without fans. So no fans, folks. And this is probably what you'll see. If we do have an NFL season, this is probably what we will see, you know, throughout the season. No fans in the stands. Washington is scheduled to open its season at home against the Philadelphia Eagles on September 13th. So I'm sure we'll see other football teams in the National Football League make this move. All right, that will do it for your current sports quick hit headliners. Again, as I mentioned, you know, many ways in which you can weigh in. You can call and leave us a voicemail at 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to Facebook.com/WKAR News and leave us a comment anywhere there. And you can tweet us, tweet the show at WKAR News, or tweet me directly at Al Martin WKAR. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation on the Big Ten deciding to punt on fall sports. That and more. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. You know, I'm still trying to wrap my head around the news that became official yesterday because, you know, look, you know, as I noted on Tuesday's show, you know, I'm not surprised, right? Not surprised. We knew this news was eventually going to come. I've been saying it for weeks now, and, you know, the thing is, the reality is just now sinking in. You know, that in a few weeks when we start to have fall weather, and knowing that there will be no college football, you know, it's just going to be really, really different and weird. So, you know, looking forward now, before we do that, I do want to comb through the specifics because, you know, right after the Big Ten Conference made it official and Kevin Warren released a statement, Big Ten Commissioner Kevin Warren released a statement concerning the decision behind why this move has been made. You know, right after that, he joined the Big Ten Network and, you know, talked about how, you know, how the conference arrived at this decision. And, you know, as he was sitting there talking, there were a few interesting things here. First off, look, he had consulted with medical experts, and the main reason why the Big Ten Conference made this move was because of the, quote, uncertainties. The word uncertainties was said a lot during that spot on the Big Ten Network with Kevin Warren. He just kept repeating that. You know, there were just, at the end of the day, there were just too many uncertainties. When he was directly asked what medical experts had told him, too many uncertainties when it comes to possibly playing college football for this fall. So that's really what it came down to for Kevin Warren. But there's also another layer to that, which, you know, I hammered home yesterday. And that is the conversation of liability. Because as I have been saying over and over and over, it would be a different story if, when looking at things, these were paid college athletes. Essentially not being looked at as amateurs. If they were paid, if they had a union, it would be different. Maybe they could give this thing a go. But because they're not, and they are looked at as student athletes, that's it. You can't risk having a season. Sure, trying to stay as cautious as possible, but if one player gets sick or if there is some kind of an outbreak, you are going to be held liable, and goodness forbid that outbreak leads to some kind of serious case in which a player has to be, or player or staff member has to be hospitalized. I mean, you open up yourself for massive, massive lawsuits. It's just not worth the risk. But this is where we are right now. And in that conversation, it's the right move. So Kevin Warren, I mean, he just hammered home that there's too much uncertainty, talking with medical experts. We just don't know what's going to happen with this thing. This is our really only decision. And then when he was pressed up about, you know, what the vote was, you know, what was the vote in that room? And I want to give Dave Revsein, who is a studio host and play-by-play announcer for the Big Ten Network. He was the anchor firing questions at Kevin Warren. And Dave did a great job of really just covering all the bases. And he asked Kevin Warren about the vote. He knew that question was coming. And, you know, Kevin said, look, I'd rather not get into that. What I can tell you is that at the end of the day, the Big Ten, and again, I'm paraphrasing here, but we act as a unit. We're all on the same page at the end of the day, and we stand together on this. But apparently that isn't the case. No, because I'm reading, according to multiple sources out there, that the vote was like 12 to 2. 12 to 2. That's what I'm reading out there. I read that from the Detroit Free Press as Kirkland Crawford published a piece earlier this week about it. You know, Dan Patrick came out on his national radio show and said that that's what the vote was, and only Nebraska and Iowa voted to play. That's what Dan Patrick was told earlier this week. So, and when it comes to Nebraska, you know, they have been very adamant that they are trying to look for an opportunity to play college football this fall. They have not been shy in letting that be known. You know, heck, Scott Frost just came out and said, yeah, if an opportunity presents itself, we're going to take it. If that means that Nebraska has to play in a different conference this upcoming fall, which that would mean if you want to play college football this fall and there are other conferences who are going to give it a go, that's what would have to happen. Then Scott Frost basically said that, yeah, we're going to look at other options. So, I don't know. You know, I just don't. Well, I get it because I know you're going to lose a lot of money. Look, and that's what this is at. At the end of the day, you know, anytime I hear coaches or certain conferences who are still trying to force this thing, say that yeah, we're still going to try and play, and then they use the guys of we're doing this for our players to give them opportunity to keep them involved. They work so hard for this. I just shake my head and say, just please stop with that nonsense. Please don't give me that garbage. We all know what this is about. This is about trying to save your wallets. It's all this is about. Look, college football is a multi-million dollar industry. The NCAA brings in over $1 billion every single year, and the majority of that money comes from college football revenue. So when you've got that amount of cheese on the line, there are going to be coaches, there are going to be conferences out there who are trying to fight tooth and nail to keep this thing rolling because they don't want to lose moolah. This ain't about the kids. Stop it. Anybody with a brain knows that when they read a quote from some coach from some conference out there like the Big 12 who say that, yeah, we're going to try and salvage this season, we can read between the lines. We ain't that stupid, okay? So it's a bit ludicrous to me. ESPN college football analyst Paul Feinbaum, he spiked Scott Frost, basically. This is what Paul Feinbaum had to say concerning Scott Frost and Nebraska's football program wanting out of the conference to play elsewhere this fall. Quote, I've covered the national championship game every year. I haven't seen Nebraska anywhere near the national championship game in about 20 years. I haven't seen them come close. Scott Frost is still claiming a national championship from Central Florida. At Nebraska, he hasn't really done much at all. He goes on to say, Paul Feinbaum goes on to say, I think it's ludicrous and absurd and quite embarrassing for the University of Nebraska to make this type of noise. They are lucky to be in the Big Ten. Yeah, he's right. He's absolutely right. I mean, it was just shocking listening to Scott Frost and reading about Nebraska of all schools. Nebraska is the one, and Iowa too, but Nebraska even more than Iowa right now, is the team right now fighting tooth and nail to try and play this upcoming fall. It's all about money, folks. A lot of money will be lost, and due to that, you're going to have some people out there who are not going to be on the same page as the conference. Kevin Warren, at the end of the day, and this is not an easy decision for him. I mean, he is a new commissioner having to make this decision that is going to financially impact a lot of different people out there, that directly impacts hundreds of student athletes and their football futures. It's about being safe at the end of the day. And it's about liability in that same conversation. Liability and safety. And with COVID-19 being completely out of hand right now, you can't guarantee anything. You just can't. You just can't. So in terms of where we're at now, looking forward to the spring, hopes of a spring football season. Well, look, I gotta agree with Reese Davis. You know, I've been watching so much coverage on this from so many different outlets out there, and Reese Davis just came out and said that, look, that's even crazy to me. Because at the end of the day, if you want to talk about, if you want to have the conversation of what's best for the players, of what's best for these student athletes, how can you say that, all right, we're going to have a spring football season that may be pushed until what? I don't know. March, April-ish. So you're not given much training time to start this spring football season. A lot of guys are going to be out of shape. But let's say you have this spring football season, right? And you play March, April, you know, into May. Would it be fair to these student athletes? Would you really be looking out for their safety if you turn around and say, and yeah, we're also going to have a fall college football season that year as well? I mean, that having a schedule that close to each other, not much time off, what does that do to the body of a college football player? How is that really looking out for the safety of those players? It's insane. I just don't know how realistic that is either. And again, there's so many unknowns right now. And bottom line, this comes down to us. It really does. You know, if we would have just done our jobs as Americans and put on our mask and social distance, we would have had college football this fall. You know, yesterday I talked about other countries out there, and I talked about how New Zealand had like its first case in over 100 days. Wow, that's wishful thinking here in America, right? It's so unnerving having this conversation, but this is where we are at. And look, man, all these other conferences who are, you know, the ACC, the SEC, the Big 12. Look, man, if the Big 10 just came out and said that, no, we're not having college football this fall, you know what's coming. It's not going to happen. Just not. And then you had, you know, the President Donald Trump coming out and saying it's a tragic mistake to cancel college football. You know what the tragedy is? The tragedy is coronavirus cases hitting the millions in our nation. The tragedy is the death toll continually climbing on the daily in our nation. The tragedy is when I go onto social media and I'm seeing people turn up and party like it's 1999 and not 2020 in the midst of a pandemic. That's the tragedy. The tragedy is the blatant selfishness of Americans everywhere. That's the tragedy. Football is minuscule at the end of the day. Sports aren't that important at the end of the day. It's sports, folks. We'll find a way to get over this and cope with this. And look, when I say that, I'm pretty sure there's some people out there saying, well, Al, what about the futures of these players? It's very important because this is their livelihood. These are their careers. These are how they can help their families. Yeah, I'm not talking about that aspect of importance. I am talking about the safety and well-being of our nation and the death toll due to a pandemic. That's what's important, not playing a game. That's what I mean. And if you want it also, college football, folks, if you want it college sports this fall, this is also a reminder that, look, man, we got to start looking at these athletes in a different light. The NCAA has constantly said that these aren't professionals. They are amateur athletes. We will not pay them. If these were paid athletes like the NBA and the MLB and other professional sports, because, look, they bring in a lot of revenue, just like athletes at the next level do. If they were getting paid, we would have a different conversation here. We would. Look, if the NCAA was paying them, we're paying you. You got to show up. We're going to try and make this thing happen. But because you don't, unpaid labor, too much liability, you can't have a season. The power has been and still is in the court of the NCAA. Do the right thing. So it's a wrap, man. I know it's going to be very, very weird waking up on a Saturday afternoon. A Saturday morning, I should say. and you know, just smelling the autumn air. And knowing that there will be no college football. Gosh, can we just fast forward to New Year's Day of 2021, in which I hope we are in a totally different light. But I wouldn't bet my car on that. Let's hit our final break. And again, you can weigh in on this. I would love to hear from you. You can leave us a voicemail at 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. You can leave us a comment on our Facebook page at facebook.com/WKAR News. You can tweet us, tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News. We'll hit our final break, and I'll try to end it on a much lighter note and talk about the NBA bubble and the incredible streak that Damian Lillard is on right now. We'll close with that. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. I'm going to try and turn the page just a little bit here, as I know we're all in a bit of a weird mental state as sports fans right now, right? Knowing that there will be no Big Ten football this season, there will be no fall sports. I do want to read though a few comments. Because I'm pretty sure that, you know, you're probably wondering, I mean, how are the players taking this? You know, how are Michigan State football players reacting to the season being canceled? And here are a few Spartan players who had their first practice of fall camp on Friday, now hit with this reality. Naquan Jones tweeted out with a peace sign emoji, "Tap in with me in 2021, hashtag super senior." Tommy Guayado, quote, "Have faith in yourself and trust God's process, hashtag go green forever." Darius Snow, "Living in Spain, but the S is silent." That's what he tweeted out. Let's see here. Ian Stewart, again, these are all tweets. Quote, "Taking this time to better myself, always trying to stay positive." And he has the 100 emoji. Andre Welch, "Until we meet again, hashtag 2021. Spencer Brown, "Off season is my season," smiley face. Jude Pedrozo, hashtag RIP football. "Hope to see you in the spring." And I could go on and on and on. So many tweets, you know, coming out. Julian Barnett, "Control the controllables," hashtag hard to kill. You know, it's one of those things that, you know, as an athlete, you got to look at the glasses half full, because if you look at it as half empty, you can really get frustrated and fall off. You got to keep on working, man. You know, that's the message you have to keep telling yourself. Keep on working. Control the controllables, and look toward 2021. All right. Again, just real briefly here, Damian Lillard is putting on a show right now for all of my basketball fans out there, for all of my fans of the NBA. You got to appreciate what Damian Lillard is doing right now, because it is special. And, you know, he had a 61-point performance last night in a win over the Mavericks. And that was a critical win because, you know, the Blazers are among, you know, a few teams competing for that eighth and final spot in the NBA's Western Conference, looking for a chance to play the LA Lakers in round one of the NBA playoffs. And with that win gave the Blazers that eighth place in their Western Conference standings, away from the Memphis Grizzlies with one seeding game to go. So, but this scoring spree was Lillard's third 60-plus point game of the season. He joined Wilt the Stilt Chamberlain as the only players in league history with three or more 60-point games in one season. Chamberlain had, just to show you how dominant Wilt the Stilt was, he had 15 60-point games in 1961 to 1962 and nine in 1962-1963. That's pretty incredible, right? But Lillard is just on a roll. It's the first time in his career that he has gone for back-to-back 50-point games, making him the second shortest player in league history at 6'2" with consecutive 50-point nights. Can you guess who that other player was? AI, the great Allen Iverson. Yeah. Who was a little shorter. Not by much. I mean, he was 6 feet. And also Tuesday's performance lifted Lillard's career total to 11 50-point games in the regular season, tying him with Ivo, AI, Allen Iverson, for eighth on the all-time list. So amazing, amazing stuff. And I like I've said, I really want to see the Blazers play the Lakers, because I believe they can give the LA Lakers a run for their money and possibly actually win that series. The Blazers aren't an eighth seed, folks. That feels more like a four or five seed right now. They are so deep, and depth will be the LA Lakers' downfall because they don't have a lot of depth on that team. So, but congratulations to Dame Dollar. I'm enjoying these NBA games as the NBA continues to test negative inside the bubble for COVID-19. folks. We'll see you Thursday. Please be smart, be safe, and as always, be easy, people.